is officially open.
With the 26th pick.
I like this pick.
You want to talk about a ton of talent.
The kid runs 4.50.
He looked twitchy, quick.
His short shuttle's not fast enough.
He's a top 10 pick.
They are mentally tougher than 10 times most people I know.
Welcome to Draft Peers.
What's up, podcast listeners? Jared Stanger, Davis Sue here. We're talking offensive tackles today and tight ends. We're kind of moving through the offensive draft board. We talked guards and centers about a month ago, and hopefully in another month we'll sit down and maybe talk some of the skill positions, wide receivers, running backs, and hopefully, you know, right before the draft. Maybe we'll get to quarterbacks, maybe not.
So tackles, offensive tackles. We've got testing now from the combine. We have a pretty good idea of athleticism. And it's bad news.
It is pretty bad.
Kind of the news that we've been expecting all year, because it's been talked about that it's not a great offensive line class in general. And it did not disappoint in terms of the prediction, but it does disappoint in terms of what's available.
It's so bad, I think Forrest Lamp will probably be the top lineman overall drafted. I think he'll, and I don't think he'll be a tackle in the NFL, but I think he will probably be the first lineman taken, and I could see him going before the three tackles.
It's definitely possible. I mean, I think his testing is he's top two testing so far, and his tape is excellent, and I think he's kind of the highest floor player in the draft, like any position. Very safe pick, and it wouldn't surprise me if you're right that he goes off before any of the tackles.
I could see him going in the top 15, top 20. And I could also see none of these tackles going in the top 15, possibly in the top 20.
It's possible, and we'll get into some of the details why I'm sort of off of most of them at this point for various reasons.
Off of them for the NFL or off of them for the Seahawks?
Off of them for the Seahawks. Well, okay. I mean, if the NFL wants to listen to me too, that's fine.
All right, who's your number one tackle in the first round? Or do none of these qualify for first rounders in your mind?
I don't know that I would spend a first round pick on a tackle this year. I think that I've started to see sort of flaws in each of them. I think that three will be picked in the first round. And I think those three are Garrett Bowles, Utah; Ryan Ramczyk, Wisconsin; Cam Robinson, Alabama. Pretty confident that those three will be picked. I think that Bowles at this point is probably the number one off. Athletically, he's number one at the combine. He's got very good tape.
Definitely. So Lamp and Bowles essentially were the top two testers at the combine.
Right. Okay. Bowles and then Lamp, and Bowles being a tackle probably, you know, holds more value. But as far as, you know, there's some question marks. He didn't do the bench press, and his people have questioned his upper body. So he may slip a little bit below Lamp.
And he's light. He's a little light.
297.
Yeah.
So he would need to bulk up a little bit, and people may not like him at left tackle. They might think he's right tackle at 297. So there are some question marks there. But as far as what's available, Ramczyk, the next one on my list, I love his tape. I think his tape is the number one tackle, but I read some article, I think it might have been either linked through Roto or it was NFL.com. There's some scouting talk that he has questionable love of the game. And it's something that I had sort of picked up on in listening to his interviews and things like that, that I'm sort of like, I don't know, he just doesn't have the POFG, you know? I'm not sure how much this guy you want to invest like a high-end pick on for a like 8-year career. 3 or 4 years, maybe. But I don't know if you're getting a second contract out of this guy. I'm a little
concerned. Because he's a junior college. Him and Bowles were junior college transfers. They only have 1 year of solid tape and play at a big school.
School tape. Also, before going to JUCO, he had kind of given up on football altogether. And so the scouts are questioning that, and it sort of shed light on it, on him for me, that there might be something more there that I've been missing that's outside of just the tape.
Which leads us to Cam Robinson,
yes,
who is the player that people have known about since he was essentially a sophomore 3 years ago. Really big. His testing, people said his testing was bad. It really isn't that bad relative to the class, and I think his testing might not be great, but to me it's adequate.
Yeah.
He tested in the 35th percentile for offensive linemen. That's actually pretty good. You just don't want to be below 10%.
Right.
You know, it's really where you really, if there's good tape, but they test below that 10% mark, in my mind, would I really start to get concerned. But at 35%, he's still to me in that middle area. And so I have Bowles number one, Ramchick number two, and Robinson three. I think all three of them will go in the first round. I don't do my own character study on them like you do. So I don't do the thing of like, ooh, I like his interview, I don't like his interview, or I question this. But I think those are the three best tackles. I think they will all go in the first round. I have Bowles first, Ramchick second, and Robinson third, because I think Ramchick and Bowles will play left tackle, and I think Robinson will be a right tackle. On Robinson, I had hated his game versus UW. But his game versus Auburn I felt better about, and then his game versus Texas A&M I actually liked.
Right. Texas A&M game, he basically shut down Myles Garrett, the probable number one overall.
And I know sometimes you don't like pedigree, but I still think pedigree counts for something in the NFL.
For sure, and for a lot of teams it definitely does.
And he has the pedigree, and he has 3 or 4 years of playing in a big-time school, where these other guys, Ramczyk and Bowles, essentially have 1 year. And Bowles was basically, I don't want to say out of football, but he's overage.
Overage,
and then Ramczyk, you know, again, these are both junior college transfers. I still think there's a market for them, but they've only played for 1 year.
So all three of these guys sort of have their red flags. Bowles has the red flag of overage and a little bit underweight. Ramczyk, he's got, does he love the game? And also he has a hip injury.
Yep.
Cam Robinson has all of the pedigree and the schooling and the experience.
But he has red flags
of getting arrested, I believe last May or June, for there's marijuana and a gun in a car that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't prove who had possession, so I think the charges were dropped, but it's still out there. He's a really interesting study for me because the tape is a little bit inconsistent, but relative to the class, it's probably first round.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then in addition to that, his interviews are actually good.
Mm-hmm.
So although he's got sort of the character red flag, when I listen to him in interviews, I kind of like him more.
And I'm pretty forgiving on character.
Yeah.
You know, I have some mistakes in my own life. So when a guy's like, I have a gun in the car, it could have been someone else's gun. You know, marijuana, I don't really smoke marijuana a lot or anything like that. But I live in Washington State. It's not a big deal. You know, it's not a major. I'm not a real weed smoker myself, but you know, it's like, have I done it in my life? Sure, and it's not a major red flag personally for me.
And if you're looking at it in terms of Seattle Seahawks, they've taken chances on the guys like Bruce Irvin, Frank Clark. I mean, they've put themselves in situations where players like this, they do other background research on them, and they can pass them on their own merits, on their own research.
Round two, if these guys are gone, or if Seattle ends up trading down or going DB, I think a lot of fans are wondering, for the Seahawks and other teams that may be listening, fans of other teams, what are the options in round two? Do you have any names that are jumping off that you can see will be pushed up into round two just because there's a lack of quality, or other guys that you think deservedly should go in round two?
For the second round, I think we go back to the names that we talked about in the last podcast, and it's going to be names coming from the guards and center conversation. Taylor Moton, who actually played a lot of right tackle in his own right. So, and then also Ethan Pochich from LSU, the center. Pochich played one game at right tackle. I think it's pretty good right tackle tape. When he got his arm upgrade at the combine, I was like, okay, this guy could potentially be, he could hit the marks for playing right tackle. And then Moton surprised me with his athleticism, and I got to give him credit for that. Way more athletic in his testing than he looks on tape. But there are, I went back and revisited his tape, and I still kind of struggle with enjoying the way he plays.
I think Moton and Siragusa are two guys that I watched their tape, and I was super curious on how they would test. And both those guys, as a credit to Moton and Siragusa, had a really, really great combine.
Yes.
In terms of arm length and but running, jumping,
yes,
agility.
I tweeted this out the other day, but Siragusa, if you're going by Tom Cable's specs that he's mentioned in previous interviews, Siragusa is the one person in the entire offensive line group that passed all three specs.
When I watch Siragusa, because he kind of has a big, I don't want to say tummy, but his upper body is widened, so it's hard to know. I was worried about his arm length. His arm length actually came in pretty decent.
Right.
And then his testing was good. So I had him in the third round, I think the last time we sat down. He's definitely a guard. I don't see him as a tackle.
And right.
I could definitely see him possibly going in the second round. Who I have for tackle in the second round, I think Antonio Garcia will still go in the second round. His arms aren't as long as you want. He's probably lighter than you want. He might not have the crazy power, but I think his tape is decent, and I think this year, and I don't think he's a first-rounder, but I think someone will take a shot at him in the second round.
And with Garcia, two things that he got better marks at the combine, his arm length and his weight. His weight was up and his arm length. The Senior Bowl arm length.
Did he cross 300?
He did. He's 302 at the combine. Yeah, so he did cross that threshold. Arms
just drank a bunch of Gatorade. Just drank a big Gatorade right before the weigh-in. I'm 302 pounds.
Like why he could do it and Bowles couldn't, I don't know. But so he did cross those two thresholds. If he can play right tackle, he played mostly left tackle at Troy. That's a guy that could be interesting. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of big-time tape. He played Clemson. It was pretty good tape versus Clemson. That would be a guy that would be kind of interesting to me.
I like him more as a left tackle, personally.
Okay.
I don't feel like he has crazy power, but I feel like he has good agility and lateral agility, and I thought his tape was pretty good. The other guys, I would take Deion Dawkins or Taylor Moton as a right tackle. I think they could be guards in the NFL, but I think they could be right tackles. I don't see either of them as left tackles in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Even though Dawkins at Temple played left tackle and Moton was a right tackle. But I think both of those guys, right now Moton has the higher buzz, but Dawkins didn't test that much worse than Moton. He actually tested pretty decent, 43 percentile per Zach Whitman's charts. Which is again pretty decent this year,
right?
Where Moton was 54, and it doesn't sound great 54, but in this year, that's actually Moton was one of the higher testers, of the year. So I have first round. I got Bowles, Ramchick, Robinson. In the second round for tackle, I go Garcia, Dawkins, and Moton.
In that order.
That's how I have the order. Yes.
Okay, and I think I would put Garcia ahead of Dawkins on my board.
And Moton below those two?
I don't like Moton, but I think he goes higher for the rest of the league.
There's a lot of buzz on him right now. It seems like a lot of teams, not necessarily the Seahawks, but a lot of the other teams are looking at him as either a right tackle or a right guard.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a big market for him.
Yeah, I think the league likes him better than I do, but still second round.
Okay. Third round, the only guy I have in the tackle category, and I was looking for guys, but in the end, the only guy I found was Julian Davenport. He's not even a guy I really like that much.
Yeah.
I don't feel like his tape, for when you play a small school, that when I'm looking for in the tape of a small school player, I want to see a really dominant player.
Absolutely.
Because you could tell the level of competition is not going to be what the NFL is all about. I felt the tape was okay, but I never felt he was a super dominant player on tape. And he tested okay, 25th percentile. He has good length. But I think a team will probably take a chance on him. Could be the fourth round. Here I have him in the third round. Mm-hmm. Again, not necessarily a player I would run out and really advocate for. But I think his wingspan was like 87 inches, and his testing was solid relative to the class.
I think that this is, and I've talked about this a little bit before, I think this class is a little bit like the year Seattle got Britt, in that there's a drop-off, a pretty bad drop-off after the second round. So it's like if you're really targeting...
So there really isn't any values in that third round.
I really don't think so.
And I could see Davenport really not even deserving the third round, really being a third-day guy.
Yeah, so if you don't get a second-round O-line, you might be punting until fourth round.
Or punting, period.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Seattle Seahawks and you're already sort of looking at, you've got Jokel on board, you've got Ode Abushi just signed, and you're potentially looking at Ryan Clady, you may be stacking the deck so that you don't have to draft an offensive lineman in this draft.
I'm really going to watch this week. I want to spend and watch the four games of Abushi and Jokel. But my initial thoughts are, after round three, I honestly think both those guys are probably better than 90% of the guys
that are
available. So if you look at it that way, it could be a great sign, especially if you get a Bushi for $1 million, which is probably all he got.
I
think he got a big deal. So,
and a lot of people, especially coming out of the Texans fan base,
like him.
They liked him. So he was either coming into his own or he may be finding his stride with Seattle. So that's a signing that a lot of people are very bullish on.
two guys I put in the fourth round, I really don't like either of them that much, but I'm going to put them out there. Roderick Johnson, who I don't think finished a full battery of tests, but he looks the part, and he goes, has a pedigree, big school. I've never liked the tape.
Yeah,
me neither. Ever liked the tape. But I think there probably will be a market for him somewhere in the fourth round. There's been guys that I felt were of that. I think the guy from LSU last year, I think Pittsburgh might have taken him, or somebody, they took him in about the fourth round, or was it Oakland? I'm mixing them up. And then Connor McDermott out of UCLA, who tested actually pretty decent. Again, I don't really love his tape either, but he's 6'8". Both these guys are 6'7", 6'8". And I could see him possibly going in the fourth round as well as a tackle.
I'm on board with you with Roderick Johnson. Just do not like him at all. Haven't understood the buzz. He started off the preseason, the college preseason, as a first-round projection. And even back then, I was just like, what are people talking about on this guy? I don't see it at all. Connor McDermott, I do think, is a fourth-round guy. I think it might be interesting. He played mostly left tackle for UCLA. If you bounce him out to right tackle, is that a different dynamic for him, and does he fit better out there? That would be kind of an interesting name in the fourth round.
I'm just going to rattle off a bunch of names in the fifth round, Jared. You tell me.
Let's go through these quickly.
Really quickly. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but if there's any guys here that you feel could possibly jump up in the fourth.
Okay.
And I was looking for guys to put up in the third and fourth round. I was hunting with a positive mindset.
Right.
But in the end, I didn't feel like any of these guys warranted that. Okay. So I'm going to run through a bunch of names. Chad Wheeler. USC, the testing was so bad, and the tape's just so okay, I see him as a fifth round or below. Will Holden out of Vanderbilt. I was hearing hype on him, and I watched a couple games. I did not see it at all with Will Holden.
Looked better at guard at the Senior Bowl, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like him as a tackle.
Yeah.
Dan Skipper, it was okay. Tape was okay. I wasn't in love with it. He seemed like moving. The guy's like 6'9".
Huge.
He's a little bit of a plotter, and then you with the testing, and I put him fifth round. Justin Senior out of Mississippi State, again, I would put him down here. Jermaine Ulamunor, who's getting a lot of hype out of Texas A&M. Again, I don't see him from what the two games I watched of him. I didn't feel like he deserved to be getting the hype that he was getting. But maybe people are looking for guys to pull up into that third and fourth round.
I'm a little curious about his testing. He didn't do a full complement of tests at the combine. If his pro day is decent, that might be an interesting guy because he was right tackle at A&M. He bench pressed one of the top marks in the class. And if he can also hit the jumps, he fits Tom Cable's specs. So that's a guy that I don't love, and I wouldn't, you know, bang the table for, but that might be a guy that Cable is keeping his eye on.
I think Evante Collins and Illuminor, when they finish their battery of testing and those numbers come back, would be two guys that, you know, for you and I, when it comes back to hit them again, once we see their numbers, I think those would be two guys. Evante Collins is a guy that ran the really fast 40, but he didn't finish his testing.
4.81 on the 40. And the 10 split was something pretty insane, too, if I recall. And then 34 reps on the bench with good arm length. But he played exclusively right tackle, I believe, at TCU. Another spread offense.
And
but
you felt his tape was decent? Or
the tape
shoddy?
Is decent. Okay. It's decent. Yeah, and I don't know if he can stick at right tackle, if he's a guard. I mean, he certainly would fit Cable's past right guard interests, like the Sweezies and like Golowinski. He could be that right guard sort of that we've seen in the past. Not the Effetti that we're seeing now, but something that Cable has looked at in the past.
All right, I'm just going to run through a few of the other names. Stop me if you feel like I'm missing. Avery Genesee out of Texas A&M. I didn't really like him. I put him fifth round or below. Storm Norton out of Toledo, big player.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like he deserved anything higher than the fifth round or below. Zach Banner, didn't like his tape. Big guy, didn't test that well, fifth round or below. Colin Buchanan out of Miami of Ohio. He was getting hyped up. I didn't see it there. David Sharp out of Florida. No. Again, looking for value. I didn't see it. Javarius Lehman, South Carolina State. Sam Tevy and Lavon Meyer. So there's a bunch of guys. Some of these guys could get pushed up, but in the end, I put all that whole cluster of guys. There's probably 10 or 15 guys that I put in the fifth round or below. And again, Jared, and if there's anyone there out of that list that you feel like should leap up or you would pound the table for?
Absolutely not. No way. And if you've got that big of a cluster in that sort of a section, you might as well punt to undrafted free agency and see which you can pull in.
Because there will be a guy there.
And that's pretty much the tackle look.
So that's it. That's our rundown of tackles. It's not exactly the most exciting year. I think Most fans have known that. But for Jared and I, we can't really make up something that isn't there.
Right.
And so we're not going to stand here and make up something that's not there. It is what it is. I think the free agency in the NFL has proven that this list is actually probably pretty accurate.
Mm.
When you're paying guys like Matt Khalil $53 million.
Crazy money.
And
Joakim getting $8 million.
Joakim getting $7, $8 million on a one-year deal. It's just a tough year. And again, because of that, I definitely see Bowles, Ramchick, and Robinson going in the first round. And I can see Dawkins, Moten, and Garcia also going in the second round because
right.
of that, with a big cluster down below, probably more fifth round.
Yeah. It's a rough year. If you've got your heart set on Seattle drafting offensive linemen early, don't hold your breath. I think that they're stacking their free agency class so that they can go somewhere else. Cam
think
Robinson
about it,
would
if
be...
If they get Ryan Clady and Joakim,
you're out of spots.
They could probably punt tackle yeah. unless a great right tackle just fell at incredible value, which probably is not going to happen this year.
Right, and we still don't know exactly where they stand on Gilliam. If they want him back, if Gilliam wants to come back, there's some question marks there.
All right, we'll talk tight end next.